From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The post-election period finds the two parties with drastically different agendas. The Democrats are assembling an administration, and they're preparing to legislate. The Republicans are trying to pick up the pieces and rummage through the experience of the past year to find a way forward. Well, from time to time, we're asking GOP leaders where they think the future of their party lies. And today we're joined by former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who made a spirited run for the nomination and who now has a new book called Do the Right Thing. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Robert.
You've taken an optimistic view among those we've interviewed so far. You said this is not the end of conservatism, but an opportunity for us. How so?
Well, if we hit the reset button, we can reboot this movement much as it has had to happen in the past. It isn't the first time that the Republican Party has sort of lost its way and had to recover. The mid-1970s in the post-Watergate era, we went through the same type of thing. I think what we're going to have to do is to recognize that there was a reason that Americans gave Republicans a chance to govern and had the White House, both houses of Congress, the governorships, the state legislatures, and there is a reason why we lost those. And the reason is competence in government, its integrity, it's policing our own corruption, it's standing for the things that we stand for and then actually making those things function in government. People want there to be an effective government, not just one that rhetorically remains pure.
You devote a chapter of the book to faux cons, faux as in French, F-A-U-X, phony conservatives.
Yes.
Worse than liberals, you say.
Well, the problem is there are some people who consider themselves the purest of the pure when it comes to conservatism. Truth is, they're not classic Republicans. They're genuinely libertarian. There's nothing wrong with being a libertarian, but don't call that a Republican because it's not the same. And a true libertarian is a social liberal and an economic conservative. They do believe that we should slash taxes and cut government. Most Republicans believe we should have lower taxes and less government, but they think the government we have should be competent, effective, and efficient. And it's not that we should get rid of all of it. And they recognize that good government, if it's done properly, starts with the individual and personal responsibility.
But when you write about faux cons, the one name you name is Mitt Romney. He seems to epitomize for you a
Well, I didn't really name him as a faux con. I mentioned Mitt a few times. I think it's getting a lot of attention. But the book is 240 pages, most of which talks about the future of the Republican Party. I couldn't tell this story without mentioning some of the dynamics of the primary season, and that would include Mitt Romney, and it would include some of the conflicts that not only I had with him, but that he had with John McCain or Rudy Giuliani or the other candidates.
But your image of him changing the light bulbs in the chandelier, I believe, was your image, suggests that he was Johnny-come-lately to conservatism.
The problem that I had with Mitt Romney was that on every major viewpoint that he presented as his credentials for being conservative, they represented a 180-degree turn from what he had previously taken when he had run for some other office. And I just came to the conclusion that it's very difficult to believe that a person can come to political puberty at age 60 with some level of credibility, that most of us have thought through these hardcore issues in our early or at least mid-adult life and didn't just decide to take these views in time to run for the highest office in the land.
A critic would say that given what you've said about libertarians, or indeed about people who arrive late to conservative ideas, that you risk trading in big tent Republicanism, a very inclusive party, for perhaps revival tent Republicanism, a more narrowly defined social conservative movement, big but not big enough to win a majority in a national election.
Well, that would be a misunderstanding because here's the point. Social conservatives tend to be fiscal conservatives. Not all fiscal conservatives are necessarily social conservatives. I don't think a person has to be a social conservative to be Republican. What I think they should be, though, is a person who does adhere at least to the general principles that Republicans, since 1980, have had a human life amendment in our platform, and we've won on that issue. We haven't lost with it. We've won. We have won when we stood for traditional marriage. 30 out of 30 states have had it on the ballot. 30 out of 30 states have passed it.
But on the issue of abortion, the polls tell us that actually most Americans favor the status quo, which is the central holding of Roe v. Wade, legal abortions in the first trimester. It seems the GOP, number one, cannot put a pro-choice candidate on the national ticket and must run on a platform that includes a call to overthrow Roe v. Wade and pass a constitutional amendment to protect the unborn. Isn't that a losing strategy?
No, it isn't. I'll tell you why. There's still an overwhelming majority of Americans who believe that abortion is not the ideal. And I think the pro-life movement has got to do a better job of communicating. This is not just about abortion. This is about how we treat the elderly. This is how we treat young children. This is how we treat people who have severe disabilities. The basic issue of the Sanctity of Life movement is not about abortion. It's really about the intrinsic worth and value of each human life, recognizing that we can't make decisions and arbitrarily define one life as having greater value than another.
But does the GOP risk having the sanctity of life from the moment of conception turn into its silver standard? What happened to the Democratic Party a century ago, running year after year on something that was devoutly believed in?
Right.
It was a moral crusade. It was a cause, but it was a loser.
Well, the question is it right? And the chapter in the book that I deal with this, I think people should read it, and I'll let them form their own conclusions. It's called What About Created Equal Do You Not Understand? And I try to address this from the broader perspective, because I think what's happened, we've allowed ourselves to get into sloganeering and yelling and screaming, when this really needs to be a thoughtful discussion about the intrinsic worth and value of each and every human life. This is a question that we've got to discuss, not based on how I feel and what I think, but based on some much deeper truths that we'd better confront as a culture and civilization.
Should the Republican Party be taking a position right now against bailouts for the financial sector, against bailouts for the auto industry, and watching whatever the Democrats legislate, if it's going to involve spending and what was derided as redistributionist politics, should you be against it? And do you run the risk of becoming a naysaying party?
It's not about being naysaying. It's saying yes to the taxpayer and not just yes to the tax taker. It's saying yes to the worker and not just yes to the people running the company. These bailouts are a disaster. They've not stabilized the market, and why should they? When the government starts picking who's going to live and who's going to die in the marketplace, the government becomes really an arbitrary referee deciding who wins the game. It's a disastrous direction for us to take, and all it does is create a greater demand for even more bailouts in the future. It's collapsing our economy. It only kicks the can down the road. It incredibly indebts our future generations. I think it's the worst thing that Congress and this White House could be doing to us right now.
Governor Mike Huckabee, thanks a lot for talking with
us. Thank you, Robert.
Mike Huckabee is the author now of the book Do the Right Thing, Inside the Movement That's Bringing Common Sense Back to America.